Thanks, blessings, Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, January 23rd, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Gender activists continue praising Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court for outlawing child marriages.
We want to urge the government, civil society organizations, the media, and the church to collectively engage in robust public legal education so that they raise awareness at the grassroots level.
A Zimbabwean living in Canada spares the education of children back home.
The thing is, anybody can be a donor. You don't have to be a millionaire to donate. You can donate $10. If 1,000 people donate $10, that's a lot of money.
And former Highlanders and Warriors kingpin Thulani Ncube carves a soccer niche in USA.
Right now, I'm still into development, so I work with schools and junior teams, academies, and something like that.
Gender activists continue praising Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court for outlawing child marriages. They say what remains to be done is for the government to ensure that the court ruling is implemented. Angela Machonesa of Plan International tells Studio 7 outreach programs will play a critical role in implementing the court order.
You know, we understand and continue to recognize that child marriage, the causes of child marriage are deeply entrenched in our social norms, our attitudes and practices. Therefore, we want to urge the government, civil society organizations, the media, and the church to collectively engage in robust public legal education so that they raise awareness at the grassroots level, at the household level, in communities, and also to bring young people on board. You know, there is power in peer-to-peer education amongst the youth. I think we need to now engage them, let the girls sit in their safe spaces, and be role models to each other. We are happy that this campaign, our traditional leaders and religious leaders had already started to give support. It had gained momentum. But we need to continue lobbying them so that they, because they are custodians of culture, they are custodians of social norms, can go back to communities and transform people's social behavior.
So apart from young people, what about some members of communities like Mapostori? How best can that be done?
Like I mentioned, the Mapostori, in as much as this issue affects them and they've been perpetuating child marriages, as far as research shows, we have been engaging the Mapostori, and they are most of them are very welcome to the social engagement programs that we've been having. But we still need to intensify bringing them on board. And it doesn't just stop at talking to them. It also we need to give them enough material, resourceful material for them to read and, you know, get the best information that can allow them to, especially leaders, go back to the church, to the women and the fathers and the bishops and explain this in layman language. I'm looking forward to technocrats in the child rights activist sector to go and, you know, simplify this technical information about child marriage so that the layman person, can understand what this means for them, for their culture, I mean for their society and for the nation as a whole.
That was Angela Machonesa, Communications Manager of Plan International, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. A Zimbabwean living in Canada is spearheading the education of poor children back home. Former school teacher Colin Nyabaza says he has provided various items to several schools in different regions in an attempt to empower less privileged kids. He speaks to Studio 7 about this and related issues.
I taught in Zimbabwe for almost 9 years before coming to Canada in April 2001. And I have a passion for helping children, especially from poor rural communities, so that they can get an education. Because I believe education liberates everybody. It gives them an opportunity to succeed in life. So I run a foundation, which I started in 2012. But my work dates back to 1993, when I started teaching in Matovo District in Zimbabwe. Until today, I've been going strong. And in a nutshell, just to save time, this is basically who I am.
And tell us a bit about your charity organization.
My charity is called the Colin Yabaza Children's Voice Charitable Trust, just from the name. The idea is to give every child a voice through education. So what we do, I think you are very much aware that most of our rural schools, they are so poor that they don't have facilities. So you don't expect children to do well in such circumstances when they don't even have classrooms and classroom furniture, books and stuff like that, and even water. So what we do, we source funds or raise equipment. And then when we source the funds, we buy things like classroom furniture. We also build classrooms. We also drill boreholes, sports equipment, and things like that. The idea is to enhance the quality of education in those poor rural schools so that the children are able to get good grades so that they can able also to go to better high schools and then come back later and develop their own community. So basically, that is what we do.
How many schools have you assisted so far?
So far, we operate in six districts. So we operate in Bubi District, Matobo, where I used to teach, Cholocho, Mutasa District, where I come from, and Binga. So far, we have managed to support over 10 schools, and I think more than 10 schools.
And now you're saying who do you work with?
I have a team that I work with. Most of them, they are either former teachers or current headmasters. All of them, they are based in Zimbabwe except myself. And some of them are retired headmasters. So I was able to put up a very committed team. And the advantage that we have is that all of them, or all of us, we work on a volunteer basis. I think you having lived in the United States, you have seen how people volunteer their time, they donate their time to help those without. So this is the concept that we are trying to inculcate in our own people, because most of them, they are used to the concept of working for money only. And also they are used to the concept that donors are white people or are people from abroad. But the thing is, anybody can be a donor. You don't have to be a millionaire to donate. You can donate $10. If 1,000 people donate $10, that's a lot of money. But we have this misconception that a donor has to be somebody from America, from Canada, from the United Kingdom and so on. So we want to move away from that notion. So I work with a group of teachers, retired headmasters. It's a very powerful team, actually.
So do you see your kind of organization improving the lives of school children? What's the impact so far?
Oh, the impact has been very tremendous. Just last year, just to cite an example, I was able to source $6,000 from one organization here in Canada, in Edmonton. It's called Global Education Fund. So with that money, we used it to buy classroom furniture for children at Majiji Secondary School in Bubi District. So we were able to provide more than 173 desks and tables and even teachers' tables. And we gave this to those children. And those children, the majority had never even sat on a piece of furniture in their entire school life. So you could even see from the photos, the smiles that were coming out of those children. And then we were really able to see the impact that we are making.
I guess it's not only furniture, books, and other items like that. You also assist kids with sanitary pads. Give us a feel of that.
Yes, because it's, we want our children, our girl children we don't want them to feel ashamed of being girls. We want them to enjoy their womanhood, right? But then you find that most of the children from poor rural families, when, that time of the month comes, they have to skip school just because they don't have money to buy sanitary pads. So we want to move away from that. We want them to feel so proud of being a woman. So this is why we included that amongst the projects that we do. We try as much as possible to, to get funds or to get the sanitary pads, which we give to children in those poor rural schools. So our idea is eventually we want to be able to give sanitary pads, they say, to each school, and then they'll be kept at school. So whenever girls need it, they shouldn't even feel shy. They'll just walk out and go to where they are, take them, go to the washroom and use them and come back. We don't want them to miss school, to feel ashamed of being a woman. We want to move away from them, from that notion. And also, most of them, they have to resort to using rags, tree leaves, and even newspapers, which is very unhygienic. It's unhealthy. So we want to move away from that. Things have changed. We're in the 21st century.
And what is your last word to school children?
Our last word is, you know, our motto says, no child shall be put down by poverty. So we want to assure those children out there that we will never let them walk alone. We'll do whatever it takes to support them. So them, the only thing that they need to do is to keep working hard in school so that they, you know, they can get a better life. And then once they've graduated, they found jobs, we are appealing to them to come back and also do the same things that we are doing for them so that, you know, we can further develop those communities.
That was Colin Nyabaza, a Zimbabwean living in Canada, speaking with Studio 7 from Saskatchewan. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're speaking to Ms. Ekenia Chifamba, who is the founder of Shamarie Mwanasikana. She is going to be commenting on the court case that was won in court last week outlawing early child marriages. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Chifamba.
Thank you, Marvelous.
You are a child rights activist. What's your take on this court case that was won last week outlawing early child marriages?
Marvelous. We are still celebrating the ruling by the Constitutional Court that no child in Zimbabwe should marry before 18 years. This indeed shows that history has been made, because for quite a very long time, we have been waging a war to see our girls protected, to see our girls exercising their rights, to see our girls excelling in their dreams, because once you are married off, then your dreams are shattered. Once you become a victim of a child marriage, then your dreams do not become a reality. So we are indeed celebrating as we are representing the rights of our girls, their freedom. I'm sure even the girls themselves feel that way also. So we are indeed celebrating. It's a moment for us to rejoice and know that finally our voices have been heard, our efforts have been rewarded, and we can have our girls protected. They can at last excel in their dreams and their future plans and hopes as well.
But some are asking that practically, is it going to be easy to implement this since it's not law yet? How do you see this moving forward?
I think yes, victory has been won, but it's also a process. It's not an easy road, because we are looking at issues of harmful religious and cultural practices. These are things that are still happening. These are things that just don't end overnight. I think it calls for each and everyone who is surrounding our girls, who is surrounding both boys and girls in Zimbabwe, to come together as religious leaders, as the community, as the government, wherever we are, the stakeholders involved, us as the non-governmental organizations protecting the girls and even the boy child, that we need to come together. We need to make this reality something that can be experienced, that really comes to pass, because it can be said by word of mouth, it can be said by documentation, but then it needs the efforts of all of us to come together then to make it a reality, to change things the way they have been. So it's also a process. It's not going to happen overnight.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Ekenia Chifamba of Shamarie Mwanasikana, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you so much, Marvelous, for having me on the show.
Join me again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Iraq suffered one of its deadliest days in recent memory, when at least 51 people lost their lives in a series of terrorist attacks in Baghdad and two other towns on January 11th. ISIL has claimed responsibility. At least 18 people were killed and 50 wounded in an assault on Jawar Mall in the predominantly Shia Muslim Al-Jadida district in Baghdad. According to Iraqi officials, a group of gunmen broke into the mall after detonating a car bomb and carrying out a suicide attack at the entrance. Several attackers were reportedly killed and four were arrested. On the same day, at least 23 people were killed and some 50 injured in two bombings in the Iraqi town of Muqtadiya, 80 kilometers northeast of Baghdad. The first was a suicide attack inside a casino. The second consisted of a car bomb detonated on the street during rush hour. The United States condemns the barbaric acts of terrorism committed in Iraq, for which ISIL has claimed responsibility. These attacks once again display the utter disregard ISIL has for the lives of innocent civilians. The United States stands united with the people of Iraq as they confront the scourge of violent extremism. In recent weeks, Iraqi forces, with American support, pushed ISIL out of the key city of Ramadi, the capital of Iraq's Anbar province. It is the biggest population center to date that the terrorist group has lost control of. The United States remains committed to working with Prime Minister al-Abadi, the Iraqi security forces, and the coalition partners to support Iraqi-led efforts to degrade and destroy ISIL.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And finally, in sports news, former Highlanders football club skipper and Warriors kingpin Thulani Bia Ncube is still doing what he likes best, that is soccer. Ncube, who was affectionately known as Bia for his defense prowess, is teaching young Americans the art of kicking a soccer ball. He speaks to Studio 7 from his base in Indiana, USA.
I came here like 2003.
And how is it here?
No, here it's not that bad. You can do whatever you want and survive. It's way different than in Zim.
And people are always asking me, have you ever seen Bia there? I would say, yes, we always talk, but they ask the other question, what is Bia doing, you know, literally? Tell us a bit.
Oh, right now I'm still into development, so I work with schools and junior teams, academies, and something like that. Right now I'm a director of coaching. There's a club called MC United, so I'm the director of coaching on the boys' side.
What exactly do you coach? Soccer, we know. Midfielders or defenders, what exactly?
Most of the time I work on developing young kids, like from the age of 8 going up until like the age of 18. So most of the time it's just developing them, knowing how to play, especially the younger ones, knowing how to play the ball, how to move with the ball, and how to pass with the ball, so that when they get older, they know all those things.
And how difficult or easy is it to impart them with those skills, you know?
Yeah, it's very difficult because most of them, when you start, especially when they're young, they've never played soccer, so you have to teach them everything. But it's good because like I'm doing what I like, so especially developing these young kids. If we can do like that in Zimbabwe, you know, like in Zimbabwe, nobody develops all those youngsters. They just have talent.
And so tell us a bit about how many of these kids you've actually produced so far.
Most of them, they go to colleges. So we try to get those kids to colleges and get them scholarships. So whatever they do after that, it's up to them, even if they want to continue with soccer or they want to continue with their education. Because, you know, education is more important than everything in life. Soccer you can play for so many years, but education is for life.
That was Thulani Bia Ncube, former Highlanders football club captain and Warriors kingpin, speaking with Studio 7 from Indiana, USA. Now to recap today's top stories. Gender activists continue praising Zimbabwe's constitutional court for outlawing child marriages. A Zimbabwean living in Canada spearheads the education of children back home. And former Highlanders and Warriors kingpin Thulani Ncube caves a soccer niche in USA. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Have a lovely weekend.